This is Yaron Brook, guest speaking on Dr. Leonard Peikoff's podcast. I'm here to apply Ayn Rand's philosophy of objectivism to your real-life questions. Your real-life questions specifically to current events, including politics, economics, and foreign policy. My answers are posted every other week on Mondays. Leonard will continue to answer questions, but now only on alternate Mondays. You can listen to full episodes on iTunes or listen to single questions or full episodes at www.peikoff.com. If you have a question to ask me, simply go to peikoff.com/questions. I had a few questions about the issues related to Muslim migration into Europe. And there are a number of different kind of questions. So this will be a longer answer because it's going to try to cover a number of the issues raised. So let's start with a more fundamental question. And let's start with this. If the West was not at war with elements of Islam, if the West was not under threat of terrorism, right, would I advocate basically for open borders in Europe? So if there was no Islamic terror and on top of that, if there was no welfare state and there was no multiculturalism, that is, Europe knew what it stood for. It stood for reason and individualism. That's what the Enlightenment was about. And Europe was strong in its defense of the principles of Western civilization, reason and individualism. Would I oppose Islamic migration into Europe? No, I wouldn't oppose it. We're assuming it's peaceful because there's no Islamic terror threat and there's no war with Islam and Islam is being pacified somehow. Europe is confident, is assertive in its own culture, and there's no welfare state. Why would I care? The Muslims who came to Europe would be the Muslims who wanted to earn a living by working. The Muslims who came to Europe would be individuals who are willing to accept the culture of individualism and reason. Just, you know, otherwise they wouldn't fit in and they would leave. Just like people who come to the United States ultimately adopt the culture of the United States. And they're attracted in the end to the United States because of that culture, whether they know it explicitly or they don't know it explicitly. So the better people would come, Muslims included. And they would come not millions, because there wouldn't be a welfare state. So only those who could find a job would come. Only those who could afford to come would come. So you're not talking about millions and millions of people over time coming. You're talking about the best, the people who are relatively educated, or people who are willing to work hard for a living because they're not going to get welfare. They're not going to be taken care of. They're not going to have the family support of staying in the Middle East. They don't want the kind of culture in the Middle East where they don't work and they just sit around drinking coffee and live at a very low standard of living. Remember, it's very expensive to live in places like Berlin or Sweden. Sweden's incredibly expensive. If you take away the welfare state, if you're not getting a check from the government, how are these immigrants going to afford to live in Sweden unless they get a good job? So no, I mean, I would say absolutely Europe should have open borders at that point. Again, you want to screen people for infectious diseases. You want to screen people for criminal backgrounds and affiliation with a violent past or violent ideology. But of course, we've said there is no violent ideology that Islam has got out. So why would I object, right? Europe is not Christian or Jewish or non-Muslim. Europe is reason and individualism, at least founded on those principles. And even socialist Scandinavia is for the most part individualistic and pro-reason, not as consistently as I would like. But that's what makes Sweden, Sweden. And that's what makes Europe, Europe. And America, America. That's what makes Western civilization. If Muslims want to come into Western civilization and become part of it, and they're not going to suck my money out of me, and they're not going to impose their culture on me, and they're not going to be violently opposed to me, by what right could I stop them from coming? And by what right can I oppose my neighbor inviting them in? Okay, so that's the utopia or the relatively utopian place where the world is a much, much better place than it is today. But what about today? Well, as I've said, I think today, given that we are at war with Islam, with strong, significant, large elements within Islam, not just a small minority, but a huge number of people who support jihadism. I think it's completely legitimate for the Europeans or for the Americans to ban Muslim immigrants as long as we can't separate the good guys from the bad guys. That is, as long as we can't properly identify the enemy. But to do that, we would have to declare war. It would have to require special measures. It would not be part of an immigration bill. It would be part of a declaration of war, just like when we declared war on Germany. Immigrants from Germany were treated differently. I mean, people who wanted to immigrate from Germany were treated differently. If you were a Jew escaping German persecution, you were brought in. But if you were a leader of the Nazi Party, you were not allowed into the United States. Well, the same thing would apply in the case of jihadism. But we would have to declare war on jihad to do that. And the same with Europe. Now, Europe is not declaring war. But given the numbers, given its proximity to the Middle East, certainly Europe should right now, for now, and given the welfare state, the extent of the welfare state, and given the number of terrorist activities in Europe, it is completely legitimate to ban immigration for now. And for how long, you know, to be determined. Immigration by Muslims, particularly from regions where you suspect that they have been radicalized. Now, I view this as sad, and I know this horrifies so many of you. I know, because you guys are convinced that Muslims are evil, that every Muslim is a bad guy just waiting to pop out. And I think that's nuts. I think that's a crazy attitude. There are Muslims who are being radicalized that have to be fought, but most Muslims are innocent, and many Muslims would like to embrace Western culture if given an opportunity and would become better understanders and better citizens of America than many Americans are. I don't know what the number of such Muslims are, but it's certainly not zero. And the difference, one of the differences between you and me is that I actually have known, lived with, and worked with Muslims when I lived in Israel. So this fear-mongering, I think, is ridiculous. And this is from a guy who wants to flatten Iran and flatten Saudi Arabia, right? We're not talking about somebody who wants to appease. I'm just saying you evaluate individuals. You evaluate ideologies. But you evaluate the individual and his ideology. You know, if I evaluated Christianity based on how it was practiced in the Middle Ages, I would say it is the number one enemy of America. But not all Christians are middle-aged Christians. Christians from the Middle Ages, not their ages, middle age. Okay, finally, there's this question of rape in Europe. And this is an interesting question because there's clearly something going on here. There clearly is an increase in rape in certain countries in Europe. We know that in Cologne and other German cities, during New Year's Eve, about 1,000 Muslim immigrants gathered and they were shooting off fireworks, but at the same time, they were trying to rape women. They actually assaulted women, hundreds of women. And so there's something real going on. The frustrating part of it is we don't actually know fully what's going on because the governments of these countries are suppressing information. They don't tell us how many of these rapes are being committed by immigrants, by Muslims. You're not allowed to talk about it in places like Sweden, by neighborhood. It's impossible to get these statistics. It's impossible to say what rape actually means in Sweden, unfortunately. One of the reasons, I don't know if you know this, but Sweden has the highest rate per capita of rapes in the world, which is bizarre. This is Bernie Sanders' utopia. And yet, based on the statistics, it has the highest rate per capita of rape. Not in the world. I mean, there's certain countries in the third world that have it higher. But in the Western world. And this is bizarre because other violent crimes are very low in Sweden, but rape is very high. Now, part of this has to do with how Sweden defines rape. Part of it has to do with the fact that Swedish women report rapes at a much higher number than American women, let's say. American women are guilted into not reporting rape often. So it's not that the number of rapes is higher in Sweden, it's the number of reported rapes that's higher in Sweden. Again, it's hard to tell because the statistics and the reporting of statistics is so poor. But look, Islam is very much a culture that views women negatively. Islam is practiced in the Middle East. is for the most part a culture that looks down on women, where in some segments, subcultures of this culture, honor killings are acceptable. That is, killing of a daughter or a niece because she's acted immorally is legitimate and is not prosecuted. Where women who wear even a little bit skimpy clothes are considered prostitutes. Now you take people from this culture and you put them in Europe and you don't tell them their culture sucks. You don't tell them their culture is evil. You don't tell them their culture is primitive and barbaric. You tell them their culture is the same as ours. And yet they look and they're told to embrace their culture. They're told to live their culture. This is what multiculturalism does. And then surprise, surprise, they behave like barbarians because their culture is barbarian. Now, if we told them they're barbarians, if we told them their culture was barbarians, and we told them they would be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law if they were caught doing what they're doing, and they better change, because if they don't change, they spend the rest of their life in jail or be deported to some hellhole in the world, then they will change. Just like every culture changes when it encounters a better culture. The history of America is an example of that. But if we tell them to embrace their culture, to live their culture, to execute on their culture, that their culture is as good as any other culture, that they're just like everybody else, they can go back to doing what they used to do in the Middle East. And by the way, we're going to write them a check. And by the way, we're not going to prosecute them. And by the way, we're not going to keep statistics. And we're not going to condemn them as a community or a culture. Then what do we expect? What do you expect? So Europe is a mess. It has itself to blame. That doesn't mean that these immigrants are not to blame. They should be punished to the full extent of the law. They should be kicked out. You should spend 10 years in jail for rape or 20 years in jail for rape and then sent to some Middle Eastern hellhole to live the rest of your life. And believe me, if you did that, they would stop. But, you know, the West is soft. The West feels guilty. The West is pathetic. And therefore, this is what you get. This is the consequence. But, you know, if I had to blame anybody, I would blame Western intellectuals, Western politicians, and Western voters who vote these politicians in. And the immigrants are what they are. Now it's the responsibility of the people into which countries they've come in to insist on them re-educating themselves or suffering the consequences. All right, that's, I think, all I have to say about Muslim immigration into Europe, although I'm sure I'll get more questions on this, and we'll end there.
If you want to know more about Ayn Rand's philosophy, I invite you to ask me a question. I can't answer them all, but I do read them all. Just write to leonard@peekoff.com. And if you haven't already done so, start by reading Ayn Rand's two most important novels, The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged. And I might add that it wouldn't hurt you to read my latest book, The Dim Hypothesis.